Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And last week we looked at the first part down to verse 18. And there was a key two verses in it. Verse 11, if I just give you a real quick review, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And so keep in mind what's the theme of the whole book, how to become a spiritual Christian. So these are flesh-driven, young, strife-filled, divisive Christians. They just got saved and they're going to become spiritual, but there's some things that they have to stop doing. And so we've worked our way through each chapter and the divisiveness. Well, what's he trying to change in chapter 9? He's trying to change their thinking about a pastor getting paid. Most people that are new to church think preachers are automatically money grabbing. And here, isn't it interesting that the mentality goes back? Because to them, preaching and what the pastor does in a church, if they've never been in church, it's all new to them. Most people, unless they're taught, God says, he that desireth the work of a bishop desireth a good thing. And if they don't understand, if they've not been in church, here's what I'm trying to say. They would think, well, why didn't he get a real job? Well, I could do that, right? What? Blow his stack for 45 minutes and then, you know, do that three times a week and, you know, shoot, how come we have to pay him? And so these young Christians, their attitude towards the man of God being supported by the people, it's new to them. And so God uses 1 Corinthians chapter 9 to establish it. And he says, if you have benefited from us spiritually, is it so bad for us to benefit from you physically? In other words, helping with the money and the, you know what I mean, full-time support. Verse 14, I told you last week, verse 11 and verse 14 come pretty close together. Watch this. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And he's going to quote you Leviticus about how the priests brought offerings to the temple. And how did the Levites eat? How did the priests eat of the offerings that the people brought? They were the only ones that could eat. Once that was offered to the Lord, then they could, I believe the custom was, you read in 1 Samuel, but they could put in a hook into the pot, and whatever they pulled out was for their family that day. And so they that preach the, now New Testament, right? They that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And what he's trying to say is, he said, I don't take money. He said, I could, but I don't take money when I go to churches. And I told you that because he had a history of killing Christians. But he said, if I wanted to, it would be right scripturally, is what he's correcting. So every young Christian has to be taught. The pastor being paid by the church is a good thing. And if a pastor can be full-time, he can do more for the church, right? Then I know several of my friends, they work full-time jobs and then come in, literally the church servant, they come in with everybody else and they're taking off their work shirt and, you know, putting on a white shirt and adjusting their tie and putting it on and coming up, and the pianist is right there and they're going, you got three songs ready? Okay, tell me what they are. And in other words, I've seen it done on the fly, but it's pretty stressful. And I'm thankful I don't have to do that. I think I could if I had to, but I don't have to do that. The church gets to pay me and support me too. They that preach the gospel should live the gospel. So he corrects that. Then the next part of the chapter, watch this. So he's these are young Christians learning. And then look at verse, let's start reading in verse 19. It says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. If you wanted something to underline in your Bible, here's the key. You'll see me come back to this, but if you underline the words, I made myself. And I'll tell you why here in just a second. Verse number 19, those three words ought to be underlined. I made myself. Okay, now let's work our way through this here. And it says here, servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Not being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. I'll illustrate this here to you in just a minute. That I might gain them that are without law. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So he says, what drives me, he said, is getting people saved. And I'll come back to that, but look at how much he says it drives him. And God's teaching us how to have priorities in this, right? Look at verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. He said, when you run in a race, he said, do you jog or run? Are you running to win or are you running to occupy yourself? The Christian life is likened in Hebrews chapter 12 to a race. We're in a race, a foot race. He said here, he said, it's an interesting truth. God points out to us, when we get to heaven, everybody's not going to get first place. Everybody's not going to get a participation sticker. There will be a Christian in heaven that God can see by how they did and how they lived, they're number one. They tried the hardest and gave more than anybody. That's what he's trying to say. When we get to heaven, everybody's not going to win first place, just like in a race. Only one person receives first place. There's one second place. There's one third place. Are you running the Christian life to win? Pastor Cattell's told me, he said, after training people tactically, he said, before going into combat, he said, teaching somebody, can you do anything like your life depended on it? Can you move your body with intensity like you have to? He said, in my years in the military, he said, there were about 10 people I had to go to the command and say, that person cannot push themselves. I promise, when they go to combat, they're going to die and they're going to kill somebody else. They can't push themselves. They as if their life depended on it. They need to be given a desk job, put them under a vehicle, changing axles or something, but do not put them on the front line. They don't have it in them. They can't push themselves. Same thing with a Christian. There's supposed to be an intensity in the Christian life here. He said, are you running to win? It's a noble goal. It's a good thing. Now, he's going to reference this, so watch this. But it's a race, all right? Oh, here, watch this. Let's just go to Hebrews chapter 12, and then I'll come right back here to 1 Corinthians 9. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Gives you kind of a neat little picture here. Wherefore, verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So who's cheering us on? Heaven is. That's the great cloud of witnesses. If you know of anybody that's saved that is now in heaven, God says they're compassed or encircling us. They're all around us, looking down, saying you can do it. Okay, watch this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So this is how to run the Christian race. And he says, first of all, he said there's weights. When somebody, you know, Brother Miller, he's run marathons. I think he had his heart attack in a marathon, a mile 8. But he'll tell you, when he runs a marathon, he doesn't run it in a suit and tie. He runs it in the garb that is the lightest to go 18 miles. And I think some of the miles that he's run is 20, 21 mile marathons. But I have never done that. And I have no aspiring. He said when he runs, the least he runs is 4 miles. And I said, you know, me doing 2.5 miles a day, I think I'm going to stick with that. But if I ever get antsy, I'll give you a call and I'll tag behind you and you can watch me wheeze, hyperventilate. At any rate, he says here, lay aside. He said, let us that are in the race, those of us that are saved, lay aside every weight. A weight isn't a sin. That's next. But it says, what is it that What is it that distracts you and keeps you? What weighs you? Okay. What slows you down in the Christian life? Analyze your life and say, for most people, it's TV. I said on Sunday, 37 hours a week is what the average American watches. Now, it's not all, but that's an average for America, 150 hours a month. Now, you put on top of that social media and phones and video games. It's lay aside the weight. Analyze your life and say, I'm in a race. I'm supposed to be trying to get first place, and whatever's slowing me down, I need to get rid of it. I need to get rid of the extra weight. Here, he says here, the weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Everybody should have a sin that they're working on in their life right now. Of stopping, shedding, whatever you want to call it. Everybody should be working at something. Why? We're trying to get rid of out of our life what slows us down spiritually and what sins beset us. What's beset mean? It means what we're naturally tended towards. Everybody has a besetting sin. Everybody has a tendency towards a direction that is weaker than others. Do you know what yours is? You're supposed to. Then think about your life. Analyze it. And say, what is it that I need to work at staying away from? Here, he said, let us run with patience. That means you set yourself for the long haul. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long haul. I want to die in this race. Amen? I want to die faithful. Look at the next verse. It's talking about running the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it tells you how he ran, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How would you go through something like that? He could see all the people that he was enabling to get saved. Amen. Then watch this. It says, despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then so it says, use Jesus as your example. How do you run this race? With patience. And you need to also, will God reward you for doing your best? Because only God knows when you do your best, right? Only God knows when you've pushed yourself. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. He said here, and I read verse 24, so run that you may obtain. Watch this, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Ask somebody that's trying to win a marathon. Temperate means there's things they don't do. Hey, you want to go get a burger? I can't eat that right now. I got a race on Saturday. I remember being on the wrestling team and we had to get under a certain weight for whatever class we were in. You know, you go to the, you know, back in the, I don't even think they do this anymore, but, you know, we put on the rubber suits and then go into the saunas and you'd try to sweat, you know, while drinking. You know, I think that's illegal now, so don't do that. But anyways, I remember as a teenager trying to lose a lot of weight fast for the meat that was coming up and to make weight. All that, he said, he's temperate in all things. He said, there's things, if you're trying to win first place in a race, he said, there's things you don't drink, there's things you don't eat, there's things you would discipline yourself for. This all has an application, and wait till you see it, okay? But he said, they're temperate in all things. The run consumes them. Their run on Saturday, the marathon, I've got to win, I'm trying to win. It consumes everything they eat, everything they drink, everything they, I've got to get this much sleep. It controls every aspect of their life. And he says they're temperate in all things. And then watch this. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In reference to the Olympics, what did first place win? First place won a olive leaf garland. That's what you won on the top tier. And he is saying, if they do it and train that hard for some leaves that are going to dry up and crinkle and you can't even probably put them in a book, right, to flatten them. If they do it for that, he said, we're laboring for a crown that Jesus will give us that's incorruptible. A gold crown, an eternal crown. We'll reference it here. Watch this. It says, I therefore, verse 26, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's talking about shadow boxing. He said, I'm in a real fight. I'm not just working at an imaginary opponent. I'm in a fight with a real opponent. There's nothing shadow boxing about me. I'm in a fight for my life. And he said, I'm not beating the air. He said, okay, watch this. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Keep under my body. What a phrase. It's the word for beat and bruise. I beat and bruise my body. And I don't think, there was nothing, like masochistic about Paul. You know, you've seen those dum-dums that whip themselves with chains and stuff. This isn't what this is talking about. He said, for me to say no to my flesh, he said, it's like beating yourself, your flesh. Your flesh is the enemy of God. Your flesh always wants to do wrong. Your flesh always wants to go in a bad direction. He said, and if you're going to stop your flesh, Jesus gave you three illustrations. Stopping you from doing wrong is the equivalent of doing what? If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. How hard would it be to cut off your own hand? It'd be really hard. People have done it before, but it's hard. Because your flesh has such a strong pull to the wrong. What else did Jesus liken to? If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. And if your eye offend you, can you imagine grabbing it and plucking it out? That's what he said to do. You said that'd be hard. What's he likening it to? He's likening it to the Christian life. For you to say no to your flesh, you have to die. Your flesh has to die. You have to kill it daily. That's why he said, I buffet my body, or I keep under my body, or I beat my blood, I beat my body black and blue to stay spiritual. That's one reason they point out that fasting is so important. Fasting weakens the flesh, and it reminds you. Fasting is very healthy. It's very healthy. Now, the only people that can't fast are those who've had their gallbladder removed. That presents a whole new problem. But if you have your gallbladder, bless God, you can fast. Amen. There's a technique to all of it, but it's very healthy. It's very healthy. You say, and it does some things spiritually. It always shows you, wow, my flesh is strong. The pull to feed my flesh is very strong. And what it takes to conquer it, to say no to sin, wow. Same thing as not eating or I keep under my body. And here, he's talking about winning a crown. When we get to heaven, those that took care of their body, okay, those that disciplined their flesh get this crown that he's speaking of, the incorruptible crown, the gold one. That's why I think you only have one body and, okay, it's just like your teeth. Why should you brush your teeth? Because you only have one set. You say, well, dentures are no problem. Talk to the people with dentures. You know what I mean? I remember being out to eat with my grandpa, and he'd get a seat under his, and he'd be like, and you know that, oh, and he'd pop his thing out. He'd get that, oh, that seat, boy, I really nasty right now. He'd put it back in. And I remember as a kid thinking, you know, I don't want dentures. You only get one set of teeth. Brush them or lose them, right? You only have one body to serve God with. If you don't take care of it, you can't serve God. Can you still be saved? Praise God. Yes, you can. But you need to take care of your body because it's all you have to serve God with. You get one, right? So he said, take care of your body. Don't let your body control you. You control your body. He's talking about your flesh. He said, you tell your flesh what to do. Watch this. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I make myself, he said, I make myself live right. I make myself, if the Christian life was easy, everybody would be a good Christian, right? Christians not, being a good Christian is hard work. And what's the hardest part of it? Me. I'm the hardest part of the Christian life. My greatest enemy, well, it's the devil. The devil is not your greatest enemy. He's one of your enemies. But you'll never see the devil till you get till you're out of here. Your greatest enemy is the one you see in the mirror. It's you. To be a good Christian, you have to overcome you. And that's a good reminder. It's me against Jesus every day. And when I have a good day, it's when he wins. And when I have a bad day, it's when I win. And I did what I wanted to do. Paul's greatest fear is that when I preach to others, my flesh will cause me to be a castaway. Not controlling my flesh will cause me to be... Paul, God used Paul to write this, right? Then somewhere along the lines, it ought to be ours too, right? The whole Christian life is, can you make yourself do what you're supposed to do? How much control over you do you have? Because it's work. If you read your Bible, it's because you made yourself read. Now, eventually a habit can be established, but how long did they say it takes to establish a habit? 31 days or 32, I can't remember what the number is, and it's varied. But there's, it's not a week. A month of making yourself do what's right to do so that it can become a habit, and then it can get a little more methodical, but it's still hard. If you pray, it isn't because you just, wow, I pray all the time. No, you don't. You pray when you make yourself pray. And it takes over a month to get a habit going. And it can become a little easier, but you still have to make yourself pray. There's times I don't feel like praying, but I know it's right to do. There's times, I'll bet you approach your Bible with, you know, fireworks going off. No, I don't. Matter of fact, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? No, there's no fireworks. You make yourself, that's the whole Christian life. You make yourself do what God told you to do. And if you control your body enough, you'll get a crown for it. God knows when you try and when you don't. Amen? God sees our effort. He's the only one that could, right? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And then watch this. Here's one of the focal points of this whole passage. He said, verse 23, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He said, when I watch those people run for the Olympics and they're training, and boy, they can't eat this and they can't drink this. He said, what would I be willing to do to get somebody saved? They put that much effort into winning a race that they get an olive leaf for, and I'm battling for souls. This I do for the gospel's sake. My priority in my life is getting people saved. That's what he's teaching. Remember what the whole purpose is? The whole purpose of 1 Corinthians 9, we're trying to get these young Christians to think in a spiritual way. What do you live for? He said, that boxer, ask him when they got a fight. Hey, want this? Want some peanut butter and jelly? No, I got a fight Saturday. I got a fight coming up. I got to make weight. I can't have any sugar. I remember when we were shooting rifle tournaments, sugar causes your eye to focus slower. And so when they, I knew a week before the tournament, no sugar. It affects when I put that rifle in, it's going to affect my eyes and my focal and everything else. So I wanted to win. There were things I would, if a fighter would do that, you can't eat this and you can't go here and you can't wear that, you can't drink this. What would I be willing to do to win souls? That's the application. This I do for the gospel's sake. Everything in my life is to get somebody saved. That's the application. And if you're going to put soul winning first in your life, it's going to take the same dedication. If not, I remember when I got saved and Danny told me on ship, he said, you've memorized a lot of scripture. He said, God's going to use you to win people to Christ. You need to go see Gene Johnson. And I remember going up to the Servicemen Center, and Gene handed me those papers, said, you're going to memorize those verses. He said, you're going to watch me lead people to Christ. He said, when you get those memorized, he said, I'll for him to teach us soul winning. We let it totally consume us. We were memorizing verses all the time, reading every book on soul winning we could get our hands on. We wanted every illustration, the wallet illustration, penny, how to use 1 cent, Abraham Lincoln, and, when you're talking to kids, and the wordless book, and we wanted we were laboring to put every tool in our toolbox to get people saved. It took work. It took a lot of work. That's what he's talking about. Remember, you're trying to get young Christians to quit bickering and to grow spiritually. Make soul winning number one. Make soul winning the greatest thing you do in your life. Well, if I talk to somebody, they might ask me a question. They might ask me, and I wouldn't know the answer, and I wouldn't know enough Bible. Then start learning it. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you're that scared about talking to somebody because they might ask you a question you couldn't answer with the Bible, then you need to study more. And it might help you sometime every once in a while if you just went out and got ashamed. I used to tell the teenage boys, I said, if I find some Jehovah's Witnesses, I said, I'm going to throw you all to them. Let them kind of piranha you. I said, if you get in too much trouble, I said, I'll bail you out. But we used to look for Jehovah's Witnesses. I hope they do ask me a question. Now, it's like ask on. I said that to say it might help you to be ashamed because you don't know the Bible you think you know, right? And sometimes you got to be thrown to the wolves, get chewed on a little bit, and then it makes you study hard. Amen? Here, soul winning was this. He said, I don't want a runner or a boxer to put forth more effort in their physical temporary contest that isn't going to matter next year. I'm battling for souls for eternity. I'm laboring to win people to Christ, and it's the function of my life. Here, he said, he's trying to teach us how. Watch this. Notice when he goes back to verse 19. Ready? For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Here's the theme of the whole passage. I made myself. He was the top Jew in the top position in the top tribe, Benjamin. Paul gives his credentials. He said, and I gave all of that up to win men to Christ. He said, I'm free from all of it. He said, if there was anybody that could do anything they wanted to do, Paul could have. But he said, I don't do what I want to do. He said, I make myself servant. It's an interesting statement. God doesn't make you go soul winning. He tells you to. But you know when you go soul winning? When you make yourself. Paul's the illustration of that. He starts out, he could have just went to one city and, you know, led people to Christ and, wow, this is great. But after he got stoned, he made himself go to the next city and start another church. And then he made himself go to the next city and start another church. And then he was beaten with rods. And then he made himself go to the next city. Wow. He said, to the Jews became I as a Jew. He always went to the synagogue first. Watch this, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. I have written in my Bible from verse 19 to 22 a statement Pastor Owens used to say all the time. You are supposed to teach me what it takes to win you to Christ. So when I'm talking and asking questions to you, I'm trying to figure out how to win you to Christ by your answers. Let me say it again. You are going to teach me what it takes to win you to the Lord. You like talking about cars. You like talking about printing. You like talking about gardening. You like talking about, what is it you like to talk about? Brother Hiles used to say, I learned a lot about everything so I could talk to everyone. He said, to those that are under the law, look at the next verse, verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to God, Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. What's that mean? When I see a man, Paul's saying, when I see a man who's willing to, he doesn't know anything about the Bible, but he's looking up at the stars, willing to admit there's a God higher. There's a higher power. He said, I don't quote him the Old Testament. I don't quote him. He said, I talk to him like this. At least you're willing to admit there's someone that made you. You know there's a higher power. I used to be like that. I didn't know God. But I met Jesus, the creator of the universe that came here down here to die in my place. And to those that are, right? He's talking about, I never talk down to anybody. I always try to meet them where they're at. I don't say I'm better than them. Watch where this is going. It's a beautiful illustration of learning to talk to people on their level. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What's a weak? When you get to preach at the Pacific Garden Mission with 300 drunks. People fresh off the street, and before they get a meal, they have to listen to the sermon. So I'd preach a half hour to them. And I didn't go in there and saying, you bunch of sinners, stinking, nasty drunks. But it wasn't that. To those that are weak, became I as weak. And I may not have struggled with that sin, but I was struggling in sin when Jesus found me and when I placed my trust in him, right? He said, to the weak became I as weak. When you preach in the jails, I enjoy preaching in the jails, but I never go in there. Bunch of lawbreakers. Hope you, right? You can't, you know that. You know that. You always have to find a way of saying, gentlemen, God does all types of things to get our attention, doesn't he? Some of you are here because of a tragedy, and some of you are here because you wouldn't quit talking long. I have said this in jail when I preach. Some of you, you wouldn't quit talking long enough until you got here. Now you can shut up and listen to God. God loves you and wants your attention, and God's trying to speak to your heart, and God's trying to tell you the way you were living is going to end in destruction, and God has an answer. Jesus Christ died for you. But to the weak became I as weak, that I might save the sum. Once again, that statement, you need to teach me what it takes to win you to Christ. You need somebody soft-spoken? I can be soft-spoken.
You need somebody that's blurting it out? I can take lessons from Brother Garland. Amen? Come on in from sin.
I meet people the way they talk. And he said, everything I do is for the gospel's sake. What a passage to think about. He said, there's nobody that's playing sports that won't matter. I don't care if it's a football game or boxing match or a run. He said, they are not going to try harder than I'm going to try living the Christian life. I'm laboring for an incorruptible crown. I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, what a wonderful book you've given us. A wonderful example. Lord, Christians that fought themselves and, Lord, made themselves do what was right. Please, use this tonight. Thank you again for each person. Be with the Doggetts as they come back from camp. Bless them. Lord, a few more nights left and give them just a wonderful time. And Lord, we'll just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless every one of you. We're not having an invitation tonight, and you're dismissed. Pray.